You're watching Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Mir. And with us in the studio, we've got Mike Ingram and Sean Richards from Not a Yes Man Economics. So it's great to have you guys with us today.
Morning.
So, Sean, we've talked a lot about RBS. We've talked about the Italian referendum. So what's really catching your eye in the news at the moment?
Well, we can address both, actually, because Governor Carney assured us this morning that there was no problem for the UK banks from the Italian banks, which means invariably what happens next, that there will be an enormous problem. And this comes in with RBS, that if there's a problem anywhere, RBS is always on the scene. So that wasn't a very good start for everyone.
Why is RBS so special? Especially as what I was asking earlier on to Mike, is that as it's taxpayer-owned, it should never run out of money because it's got an infinite source of wealth from you and me. So why is it kept underfunded is underfunded?
But there is an element of round tripping here, isn't there? Because I pointed out on my blog this morning that George Osborne took $1.2 billion out of RBS in March. Mm. Now it's got a capital shortage. Well, you don't have to join the dots very far, do you? That 1.2 billion.
What did he do with that 1.2 billion?
Well, it helped the public finances, didn't it? Because his target was to get the national debt to GDP ratio to fall. Now, sadly for him, that didn't quite happen on his watch.
Take money out of anywhere else apart from RBS.
Wasn't that the capital access pay key payoff?
Yes.
So there was a financial instrument which gave the UK government basically a veto on paying out any dividends, and the flows were going to come specifically to them. And obviously that had a value to the UK government. So really, George Osborne effectively cashed in all his chips in order to, as Sean was saying, limbo under that particular... that particular metric, debt metric, which has just been blown out of the water
sadly,
now anyway.
By the time he'd limboed under it, he'd metamorphosed into Philip Hammond and he doesn't get any credit for it. So it's a sort of
thing. Tragic.
very ugly analogies, the limboing and then morphing into...
Well, moving on from that, so we face a situation now where the UK taxpayer is in at about £5 per share and the actual share price is £1.91.
Okay.
So there's an issue there. But the taxpayer... thing continues because, in principle, it is, you know, sort of infinite funds available. But the catch is, of course, it's 73% owned. Whilst I'm not a fan of nationalising banks, if I could do it longer, it'd be much simpler to make it 100% taxpayer owned, yeah. And then everyone would know where they stand, even if it's somewhere not very nice.
The thing is, at the moment, I mean, even if it was somehow broken up, you know, wound down, it's only trading at about half the book value of equity at the moment, which in part suggests that the market doesn't believe the equity position of the bank. And as I mentioned earlier on the show, there's some fairly large contingent liabilities in terms of conduct issues, shall we say, going forward.
So what do you think the outlook for RBS is then moving forward?
Oh, dreadful, because it will trip over other hurdles that we don't know yet. This is one of the problems. Each time something comes up, it's always there. There's a familiar list of it. My old employer, Deutsche Bank, Monte Paschi, and so on, they're always around and something's gone wrong. To go back to Zach's question and answer that as well, this is because when it was boom time in 2006, 2007, all these boys, and less so girls, were piling into these places thinking this was fantastic, there's money to be made, and then it went wrong. If we look at the United States yesterday and record consumer confidence numbers, well, people were pointing out that last time this happened, 5 months later, the whole thing went wrong. And it's part of that cycle, the boom-bust cycle. Mm. So these are the relics, and we come back to the point that, though, however, we've been promised for how many years now? 8, that this has all been reformed.
Isn't it possible to go bust or to have a bust if interest rates are at zero?
Yes, because
in theory, you can just ratchet up the debt more, you know, higher and higher, and it doesn't cost you any more. So, you know, just extend the loan.
But this is one of the fallacies of this time. Whilst you could say that the actual down, you know, monthly payment zero, there is a capital burden. This is, if you like, if you put this in another...
But you don't have to carry it.
This is the situation of
gravity,
Japan.
No, gravity.
You know, sometimes recently Japan has even been paid to borrow. But still, the amount of the debt burden comes, and I think that has an effect psychologically, if nothing else. That it, you know, the
yeah, but that's the thing. I was listening to I don't know why I keep doing it, but Radio 4 this morning, and you know, the £190 billion of debt, and you know, you got the people on there saying, oh, it's great, and it's a lot of concern, and we're really concerned, you know, it's really upsetting and stuff. But it doesn't make any difference, does it, really? Because it's just nobody's ever going to pay it back now, are they? It's so big. These debts are now so big. The general public are not going to pay it back unless the housing market goes up so much that they can, you know, we're already in a doomsday scenario, aren't we?
Well, you're declaring obviously the Bank of England's only strategy there, which is to try and get house prices higher. But for a while, there was a little element of truth in what Mark Carney had to say today, that the UK households did
leverage. His name is Mark Carney.
Two things he said that are true today, they're not one. That households did deleverage for a while, or to say repay some of the debt that they had. But the truth is, since he came in, his policy is to get them to borrow again. And now, yesterday's numbers, I was one of the few people covering this, but unsecured lending in the UK is rising at an annual rate of 10.5%.
And that's the best kind, isn't it? Unsecured.
Well, you may...
RBS is a specialist division.
People may enjoy his definition of secured lending, because I don't know if people like me listen to sort of stations like LBC and Absolute Radio, where for a while there was a rash of adverts from a company called Buy to Let Lending for cars. Now, other lenders are available that do car stuff and so on, cover the advertising bit. But that always struck me as not far off insane, because whilst a house depreciates, it does so over decades, maybe a century or two. A car? Some of mine have done that in 2 years. Yet Mark Carney this morning defined that as secured lending. Well, secured on what?
Status quo fans listening to Absolute Radio is what they're trying to do there. They've got the demographic there of the type of person, you know, driving a Ford Capri or something. You know,
so that was rather bizarre. And then we come to the next thing that left out of these numbers, presumably because it would be so embarrassing, is they don't put student loans in it. If you then put those in, the numbers would be...
They're okay. Right. I mean, eventually they'll earn some money, won't they, and they'll be able to pay.
Shelf-stacking in Waitrose, yeah.
Well, hopefully, but again, the plan is just the right
way. Is it that depressing, then? Because everything you've said so far looks like a nightmare. Is there anything good on...
The UK economy is doing quite well, except that's awkward for the Bank of England, because it said it would do dreadfully, which takes us back to yesterday, when Martin Wheel, who used to be on the Bank of England, accused people criticising all of the Bank of England's failed forecast as being lunatics. Now, you might be right about Michael Gove, but some of us have correctly pointed out that they can't get anything right.
But one of the reasons the UK economy has done quite well is because household consumption has stayed up, and that has been supported in at least in part by high levels or rising levels of household debt.
I think that there's some truth in that, although other elements of the economy have done better than they think. For example, they said the investment would collapse. It hasn't. Now, in the last quarter, we actually did quite well out of net exports and trade. I don't expect that to last, because we're a disaster in that area. But, however, you know, who knows? A lower pound, we might.
Good. Good to finish on a positive note.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. That's Sean Richards there from Not a Yes Man Economics.